Season three.
Okay. Season three.
My clap was so lame right there. It doesn't even sound like a clap. Did that sound like a clap?
No, it just kind of sounded like, I don't even know what it sounded like.
Slapping meats.
Slapping meats.
Yeah,
like two steaks, slapping two steaks together.
Yeah. Why can I not clap? What is happening? Oh, maybe it's the echo in the room. I don't have my sound barrier up that I usually have. So it's probably the echo in the room.
Oh.
But anyways, it could also
be because it's the new year. It's the first week of 2022.
It is the first week of 2022. It's felt like it's the first month of 2022. Doesn't feel like last week was New Year's to me.
No, but it really hasn't. Know,
it's gone very slow. And you know, if the year continues like this, that could be a good or bad thing. I haven't decided on that yet.
I mean, let's be honest though, we're still living in the end of 2019.
Yeah. I mean,
like we're still in that transition point. Like we still haven't gone past there yet.
I did see something that legit said, notice that it says it's 2022. So it's the sequel to 2020. And that is terrifying.
That is terrifying.
let's hope that doesn't happen. Anyways, for anybody who doesn't know, this is the Disney College Podcast. You might have clicked on it and been like, oh, they're doing all the Disney Animated Studios things. I should probably catch up on the other episodes. For the most part, you don't need to. It's like a whole new show, except we didn't change the branding. And we didn't change the two people in charge. And nothing has really changed except for the purpose of this show. So, you know, you didn't miss anything in the last, 80 episodes that we did. This is new.
I disagree. I feel like they missed a lot.
What have they missed?
Well, they missed our episode talking about Taylor Swift's first re-recorded album. The Montreal steak seasoning episode. That's a must. They definitely have to go check that out.
Oh, God.
Some of the Halloween ones were a lot of fun. Like the abandoned locations and stuff like that.
Did you know that people actually like the music episodes? Like, I felt bad cutting them, but we are on a mission now. I don't think people understand. Ever since we moved to a month, I came up with this idea, and then I realized that we do one a month now, and this is going to take us 5 years.
I mean, true, but maybe things will change by the end of the next season. Maybe we'll get to the end of season three and be like, you know what? We're going to switch it up.
We can't do that, though, James. We can't. We have to make it through all 60. I'm saying that right now.
Like, we will at some point. I'm sure we will. But I'm just saying, you never know what might happen. You know, maybe 2023, might bring, a whole, set of awesomeness with it. And we'll switch it up then. Who knows? Also, knock on wood that 2023 is going to be awesome.
Well, I mean, we're still in 2022. So you're saying this whole year is already ruined?
Actually, yeah, knock on wood that 2022 is going to be good too.
Like, we're 8 days as we are recording this into 2022. And James is already saying that this year is a lost cause.
I did not say that.
He said, and I quote, 2023 is our year. 2022 doesn't matter. And you can rewind that and play it back. And it will sound just like that. I don't know.
For sure. Yeah. Yes. Rewind it and see if I say those exact words. Do it.
I don't think you understand. I will go back and place it so that you do say those words.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, no, 2022 does not mean we're going to start editing the podcast again. You know, the whole change up. You would think oh, they're doing this cool thing. No, I'm not doing that. Although I did see, if we went back to weekly, maybe this is what you meant by change it up. If we went back to weekly, we'd be done with this project in a little over a year. So maybe you're saying in 2023, we're going to go back to weekly.
I mean, it might be possible, you know, we'll just have to see what happens.
Well, anyways, for people who don't know, the first movie that was chosen, we let it up to everyone on our Instagram page, and it was voted as The Emperor's New Groove, to an extent. I mean, everybody voted for a different movie, and this was the only one that got voted for twice. We got a ton of votes. Like, I was surprised how many votes we got, and every movie except for this one got a vote. Well, not I mean, like, not every movie, but, like, every movie was a different movie, and I got nervous that we weren't going to get a double, and then I'd have to go through and be like, all right, guys, here's a list of these, like, a bunch of these movies, and you're going to have to re-choose. I just didn't want to set that all up, you know? It's 2022. It's the year of being lazy.
But I mean, hey, well, Emperor's New Groove, that's a pretty good choice.
Yeah, I think it's a great choice to kick it off. It's one of the most odd Disney movies. It's one of the most, like, I don't know. It's different. But before we get into that, there is some Disney news. We're not really going to talk about it anymore. I don't know. Unless you have any extreme desire to talk about some of this Disney news. I didn't write any of it down. I just kind of have it in my memory. But what I really want to talk about is James finally saw Spider-Man.
Yes, I did see Spider-Man.
Last time we talked, James was seeing Spider-Man the next day, and then it got delayed to the next day. So we couldn't talk about it. So for anybody who does not want to be spoiled, you know, maybe click forward like a minute. I don't know. It's been out for a month. If you wanted to see it, go see it. I don't know what to tell you.
Yes, absolutely go see it. It's amazing. It's arguably one of the best Marvel movies that have been released.
Yeah. And Tobey Maguire's in it. And so is Andrew Garfield.
Yep.
Yeah. You're welcome, everyone. That's all I have to say about it. I saw it a month ago, so I don't really have too much to say. But it's great.
Oh, it's so great.
You know, we should have done the Marvel movies.
Oh, God. Can you imagine how long that would take? Well, actually, it wouldn't take as... Actually, wait, no.
What it'd be a lot shorter. It would be like... We'd probably get it done in, like, 2 years instead of this 5-year contract that we just signed. You know what our contract says, right?
No, I didn't know there were contracts involved.
Yes, there's a contract that says we have to get it done within 5 years. Because, you know, I'm going to say this wrong, I guarantee you, but 12 times 5 is 60, I think, right?
Yep. That's math.
Yeah. Math, yeah. I didn't do great in math growing up. And that's how it works out. Yeah. So we're doing one movie a month, and that's 12 episodes. So, you know, it's going to take 5 years. Unless we end up doing, like, a couple bonus episodes every month. But the Marvel movies would probably... I think there's, like, probably 25 or 30 of them. So it would take half the time. But our punishment is if we don't... You signed this contract. I witnessed it. If we don't complete it in time, we are going to be shot on site and... stuffed and put into the It's a Small World ride.
Oh no.
I mean, honestly, I think that'd be pretty funny to see. You just see all the little kids, and then there's a stuffed version of me and you singing the song.
Are we dressed as Winnie the Pooh and Tinkerbell? Like, as our profile picture is?
Yes.
Oh. Oh my.
Oh, I forgot to address that. It's still our profile picture, but there's a new profile picture on the thing. It's the same one as before, but there's more of us.
There is so many more.
So many more of us. you would look and be like, I don't think I want that many Bradley and Jameses, and I'm sorry, they're there. They are there, and they're there to stay. All right, well, let's jump into why everybody's here. Some people are probably just like, they're not even talking about this movie yet. They're talking about getting stuffed and put on into It's a Small World. And, you know, that's true. So let's talk about, it came out Emperor's New Groove, or as it started. What's the name of that? Do you know the whole story of this movie?
I do not.
So
can't say I do.
It's very interesting because after The Lion King, the director of The Lion King, they pulled him in and they're like, hey, man, what are you doing next? And he was like, oh, well, I got this great idea for this movie called Empire of the Sun or Emperor of the Sun. I can't find the name of it right now. That's a direct quote by him. Oh, it's called Kingdom of the Sun. Direct quote by him, though, you know, because I don't know. And essentially what happened was the movie was too complicated. And it was taking forever to make. Like, typically, I guess a Disney movie would take 4 to 5 years to make back then. Because, I mean, it was 2D animated, so hand-drawn. And it got to the point that the movie was barely done. And I guess the guy in charge at the time, not Michael Eisner, but a different guy, called them in, or another team in, and said, I don't want to put you guys against each other, but I want you to pitch a different version of this movie. Like, we're on a timeline here, and this movie needs to be out by this date, or else we're going to get fines by McDonald's because the toys have to come out. And so they pitched a completely different version of the movie. It's closer to the one that we have now. And that's the one they went with. And so I think it said that it took them a year, which is a very quick turnaround for a 2D animated movie. And what they would do essentially is they would go in and sit down and just joke around. And at the end of the meeting, they'd be like, oh, cool, we have some cool ideas. And they would write it down. And then that's how the movie was made. It was just them sitting in a room being like, well, how is she as a cat going to fall down and then get back up again? Not like the Chumbawamba song. So that she bounces back up. And like, well, what if there's a trampoline salesman? And they'd all laugh, and then it ended up in the movie. So after this movie premiered, Disney like collects all the scripts for all these movies. And they actually, when the person, I think it was, they said an intern went in, they're like, hey, can we have the script? And they handed them like three boxes full of things. And they're like, that's not a script. And they're like, yeah, we didn't have one. And they're like, well, we need one. So they ended up having to write a script after the movie came out.
No kidding.
It was all just kind of improv, kind of like it. Like, I mean, the whole movie was an improv, but a lot of it like was written. And then they were just kind of like, here you go. This is what's in the movie. They were writing it as they went. And there's actually a documentary about this whole process, because you know how Elton John did the Lion King music? I might have just blew your mind there. I don't know. He wrote all the music, though. Well, they got Sting to do this music, and they wanted to keep him on, but Sting was not happy because of the music, but like where the movie was going. He thought it was going to be like a Lion King type thing. And then they cut all his songs out for the most part, except for the credit song. But part of the deal was his wife would get to make a documentary about it. And she did. And it's called The Sweatbox. It's been shown a few times, but because it paints Disney in kind of a bad light and Disney owns it, they will not release it. And anytime like it's put on YouTube or a torrent website or anything, they instantly take it down.
So, wow, that's crazy. How many times, you know how many times the documentaries, like, they've tried to put it up?
Lots of times. I mean, it's on YouTube right now, and I was going to watch it for this, actually. But I didn't end up watching it because it was in, like, it showed, like, a background of the Emperor's New Groove. And then in a tiny, tiny box in the corner, it showed the Sweatbox movie. And I'm like, well, I kind of want to watch this on my TV. And I couldn't. So I'm still on the lookout for it. If anybody we know has it, I'm very interested in actually sitting down and watching this movie. But apparently also Disney did not know how to market this movie. So, like, none of the marketing made sense. And if you notice, they show like three or four of the same clips in every trailer, but that's my little rant. We could have got a completely different movie, and honestly, I'm happy we didn't. And I'll go more on that later. But James, what's your experience with The Emperor's New Groove?
I mean, it's, gosh, how long ago did I watch this movie? I honestly skipped a lot of these movies. Well, not really skipped. I just never really got around to watching them. Because, you know, back in the day, unless you had it on like VHS or DVD, like there wasn't really like a streaming service you could watch it at. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I watched, you know, I watched like The Lion King. What else came out around that time?
Well, this came out in 2000. Lion King, no, they came out similar, I guess.
Yeah, like the movies that came around in like that like 5-10 year period.
Like Tarzan.
Yeah. Yeah. Tarzan I did see. I do remember seeing that. But yeah, this one I kind of skipped out, and I watched it like, I think I watched it in college. Because a couple of my friends were really into Disney movies.
Now, when the first time you saw this, did you like, what was your reaction? Because it's not like a Disney movie. It's weird.
That's exactly what I thought. It was weird. It's like, it kind of has a Disney vibe to it, kind of. But like you said, it's just one of those weird films. It's just all over the place.
Yeah, it's the most like chaotic Disney movie, I think. Because I don't think they knew what they wanted to do. Or, I mean, they didn't. They were all sitting around, like, just joking, and they had to get something out. But I just can't picture, like, parents picking this up and being like, oh, it's going to be like The Lion King, and putting it in, or Lion King, Tarzan, all those movies. I'm sure Disney, they did have comedies around then. Not that those movies aren't relatively funny, but, I mean, after, like, Pocahontas and Hunchback of Notre Dame, and stuff like that, which I'm sure we're going to be talking about those at some point.
Well, I think, honestly, like, I remember seeing, like, the trailer for this movie and, like, the squirrel with the balloon.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Disney, like, the early Disney animated movies, they kind of did this, like, they portrayed it kind of in, like, a comedic kind of way.
Yeah.
But I feel like this movie stuck with that the whole way through. Like all the other movies, like they have their like funny moments, but you know, they have like a serious message and whatnot, like a more serious tone. And this one had like a message too, but it was way more like the comedic aspect was just present all the way through.
The funny thing is, I was looking for like a serious like message in this movie, which it is. I mean, it's like friendship or something. I don't really know.
Yeah, friendship and you know, not being like selfish and whatnot.
But, like, I'm watching this movie. This was probably, I watched this movie. I didn't really say it at the beginning, but I watched this movie a ton as a kid. I think I saw it in theaters. They did, like, a little, James is going to know where this is, but you know in where the Orange Line starts?
Yeah.
And across the street from there, there's, like, a little, like, baseball field.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did, like, not drive-in movies, but come sit down on a blanket movies type things. And I went to that. I have a vivid memory of going to that and watching this movie.
And oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and when we ended up getting a DVD player, which I have a vivid memory of too, because I was so excited that Harry Potter was out on VHS. And my mom's like, hey, we're getting your dad a DVD player for Christmas or his birthday. Why don't you get it on DVD instead? And like, great, perfect, got it on DVD. But then, like, his birthday wasn't for a few days after that. So, like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I want to watch Harry Potter. But I couldn't take it out because I couldn't show him that we had the DVD or else. So he's like, why don't we go get the VHS? And my mom's like, no. But I have a vivid memory of that. Like, the day that my dad got the DVD player, I think we watched Harry Potter. And then he went out to a store and bought a few more DVDs. And I don't recall every movie that he got. I have a picture of one. It's like Road to Peltham or something like that. It wasn't a movie I saw. I was like probably 5 or 6 at that point. But it had this weird green cover. And it had the guy from Spy Kids in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and but he also got The Emperor's New Groove, which I was very excited about because I had, this was one of my most watched Disney movies. I mean, I'm sure I'll talk to my parents and they'll be like, you barely watch this, but I quoted this all the time. It was like, watching it the other day again, it was like, there were some jokes I missed as a kid, and they're not that they were inappropriate jokes. It was just like, the singer guy at the beginning, you know who he is, right?
That was Elvis, right?
No, Elvis. Elvis died in like the 60s, James.
I got Elvis vibes from the singer. Wait, you mean no, like the animated singer or like the song, the intro song?
Oh, yeah, the intro song and the guy that was singing it.
No.
So do you know the song What's New, Pussycat?
Yeah.
It's that guy.
Oh.
Yeah, and he also sings It's Not Unusual. There's a whole John Mulaney bit about it, which if people haven't heard, they should go listen. Or don't. But yeah, no, this was like my movie, if I remember correctly, as a kid. Which it's crazy to look at. Apparently this came out in December 15th, 2000. And I don't think it came out on DVD until like, oh no. Okay. Came out pretty close to then. May 1st, 2001.
No, still, that's I don't think I got like it. 6 months.
Yeah, I don't think I got it until like, because my dad's birthday's in May. Harry Potter came out in 2001. So I don't think I got it until like the following May it came out. But whatever. How do you think this movie did at the box office?
I imagine at first it probably didn't do well.
You would be right. Just
because of how chaotic it was.
Yeah, it was considered a box office disappointment. It grossed the least amount of any Disney animated films in the 1990s. Ouch. But you want to hear what? It grossed $10 million in its opening weekend, opening fourth behind What Women Want, Dude, Where's My Car, and Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Huh.
I did not know that this came out that same weekend. It also competed with Disney's 102 Dalmatians, the live action version. So I don't know why they put it out the same week, but you know.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Yeah, you think they want to spread it out a bit, but.
Apparently, in January 2021, the movie was re-released in theaters. So, apparently, We missed that last year.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
I totally would have went to go see that. Disney. Anyway, I think over the course of a few years, recently, honestly, the movie has kind of grown to its own. And, like, the reviews were great. It has an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. IGN, that website, gave it, it was named the 16th best Disney animated film of all time. And, I mean, it sold so well on DVD that they greenlit the sequel, Kronk's New Groove, and a TV show called The Emperor's New School. Which, do you have any experience with those ones?
I remember, I've seen Kronk, but I don't have a lot of memory of it. I just remember that it was just kind of like the zany adventures of Kronk.
See, I bought the Blu-ray fairly recently, and by that I mean this week, and I watched it. And it came with Kronk's New Groove. Disney, I gotta call you out here. Disney, when you have a Blu-ray DVD thing of the movies, and the Blu-ray has both movies on him, don't just take the old discs of Kronk's New Groove and Emperor's New Groove and shove them on top of each other on the other side. Because that's what they did.
Oof.
But it makes sense. They don't want to make new copies of them, and it's whatever. But I watched Kronk's New Groove. This was my first time seeing it. I laughed a few times. You can tell it's different people. David Spade is barely in it, and they kind of, weirdly enough, I mean, this was one of my problems with the first Emperor's New Groove, where they really kind of say, oh yes, we need to have a lesson. At the end, it shows him being nice to one person. And it's like, a couple of seconds ago, he wasn't nice. What changed in this last, like, 3 minutes? Like, what happened? And then the second one, he's kind of acting like himself again, but he's in it twice. And Kronk's funny. The first story's a little bit better with the cat, like her still being a cat or whatever. And then they get into the love story part, and it's just kind of eh.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean, the sequels never really do as well as the first ones, to be honest.
I think what it is like Disney, you know how right now Disney's big thing is live action remakes?
Yeah.
Their thing back then was direct-to-DVD sequels. So, like, they came out with 102 Dalmatians Patches London Adventure or something. Might have the name wrong on that. Lilo and Stitch 2 was just direct to, like, whatever it is. Stitch the movie. They're just trying to... Some of them came out in theaters. Like, Peter Pan 2, for some reason, was in theaters. Return to Neverland, as was The Jungle Book 2.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, which we do not cover any of those movies because they do not count as Disney Animated Studios movies, which I probably should have clarified. We're only doing Disney Animated Studios, so no Pixar. No.
That would add, like, an extra 30 movies.
Yeah, it's just, so, like, you might hear us talk about, like, Kronk's New Groove, kind of, which that was called Toontown, I think it was called. I might be wrong on that. Disney Toon Studio. I can't find the thing for Kronk's New Groove. Here we go. I found it. Disney Toon Studios, something that they shut down after, like, they bought Pixar and stuff. And it was nice to see most of the cast come back for Kronk's New Groove, because the TV show, I don't think I've ever seen any of the TV show. But, you know, it's, most of the voices actually came back.
Well, that's good.
John Goodman came back for the second season for some reason.
Not the first?
No. I don't know why, but he only came back for the second season. David Spade didn't come back at all. But the main cast returned, and I guess it got a lot of criticism for not having any sort of educational value, but it was popular. So, I mean, I think you're going to see, I have a weird feeling you're going to see Disney try to capitalize on the Emperor's New Groove at some point. I've seen it more every time I go, because when I went for the first time, or the first few times around when this movie came out, there was nothing in the parks for this movie.
Yeah, which is weird, because, you know, I've seen a lot of things about, the ride they go on when Yzma and Kronk go on to get to the secret lab. Like, how is that not a ride yet?
Yeah, I know. To be fair, I feel like the movie still is kind of a cult movie. Like, it doesn't, when people think Disney movies, this isn't the first movie that they're, thinking of, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I feel like we'd all be excited. Like, our generation would be like, yes, I'm so excited to go on this ride. But, I feel like this movie hasn't really, and I might be wrong because, you know, I don't have kids. I'm not. But, I don't feel like this movie is really translated to the young, I feel like kids now, I think we had this conversation before where Encanto is going to be this movie for future generations. Maybe not exactly. Encanto has a more serious tone, but trying to think of what came out recently. Which, speaking of changes, did you see that Turning Red is going directly to Disney Plus?
I did. That's shocking.
You know what? I'm happy to see it for free. I'm down. But why the Pixar movies? I want to see the Pixar movies in theaters.
Yeah, Pixar just keeps getting, they keep getting the boot.
Yeah, and I don't get it. Those are the ones that I think, I would have saw Soul in theaters.
I think that would have done really well in theaters, too.
Yeah, now it's kind of just forgotten. It sounds terrible, but it's kind of just, pushed to the side. And then they also put out, Onward was in theaters, obviously, but it came out while everything was happening.
It was in theaters very briefly, and then I think it jumped in a few months later on Disney Plus.
I think it was a week or two later, honestly. I think it was fairly instantly, because I remember being oh, this is so weird. I just saw this in theaters. There was another Pixar movie last summer that I can't. Luca.
Luca, yeah. That one was released in right to Disney Plus as well.
It's kind of all right, cool. So Encanto is in theaters for a month. They put it in theaters for a month, and then I think they should have put the Disney Animated Studios movies direct to Disney Plus, or just put them all I don't know, because it was so weird, and we'll talk about this more fairly soon, which I can't say when, but you know, maybe next month. Very, very, very much could be next month. Encanto I saw in theaters, nobody talked about it. Nobody went and saw it. And then as soon as it hit Disney Plus, now everybody's seen it.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it. Because it's so weird to me. Some of the songs are now popping up on the top charting songs on Spotify and Apple Music. And I'm I saw this movie 3 months ago now. Are people finally just picking up? I don't know. We'll talk about that more next month. Oh, no. I just kind of spoiled it. whatever. Who cares?
Shoo.
But yeah. What'd you say?
I said shoo.
Shoo?
You know, like how Mater says shoo?
Does he?
At least I think he does.
I don't remember.
Might be anyway. Hearing that wrong. I don't know. That's a topic for another day.
Yeah. I don't even think it's a topic for another day. We're never covering Cars. You know what I'm not... before... So what... Out of everything, like... We're going to go out of five. For people who don't know, I haven't even told James this. But if you go to the link in our bio on our Instagram page, you're going to get to see... our Letterboxd account, and as we do each movie, I'm going to enter the movie into our Letterboxd account with our final rating in there, so that it's going to be sorted by what we think is the best and what we think is the worst out of all 60. So if you go to it right now when this comes out, you will see that there's one movie in there, and it will be The Emperor's New Groove. But so they rate out of five. James, what would you give this out of five?
See, I really like comedies, so I'm going to give it a four. I think, you know, it did what it had, like, even as a crazy film, like, it's enjoyable. It's zany. It's funny. It's like a family film.
Honestly, I'm going to give it a 4.5. Where I would, but we got to agree on one. Where I think, honestly, and maybe this was a bad choice to do for our first one, I think I'm going to find out this is my favorite Disney movie.
Oh, yeah?
And, I mean, not like favorite as in like, oh, the classic, like Aladdin and stuff like that are still better movies, I think. Like, there's no... like deny, but this is probably my personal favorite Disney movie. It's just so out there, and it's like it could never be made in certain things. Like the fact that this got put out, like I even turned to Emmy when I was watching it and was like, this could never, like, I'm surprised they let this come out. And she was like, what do you mean? And then I explained the whole like thing, but like I am very surprised this slipped through Disney's, like, cracks, kind of.
Well, see, during that, like, I feel like during that time, like, they were doing a lot of experimenting. Like, there's a lot of stuff I feel like they tried back then, like, 20-plus years ago, but they wouldn't do today.
Like what? What movie are you thinking?
I mean, this movie for sure. I kind of feel like Chicken Little wouldn't have happened. That was a risk on their part.
Do you want to hear a sad part about that?
Do tell.
It's the same director.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So he went from Lion King to that, and then to Chicken Little.
Well, no. So what I didn't say was the guy who directed Lion King left the project when they switched it more to a comedy.
Oh.
So he's still credited as a lot, but it's a different director.
Oh, and then that director did Chicken Little.
Yeah. So we unfortunately have him to thank for the worst Disney movie of all time. How much about we watch it and we love it?
I don't know.
I feel like you secretly like Chicken Little.
I like the toys that you got from McDonald's. Movie's kind of weird.
Did you come to... Because I saw it in... I don't know if we went to the same elementary school.
No, we didn't.
Did your school do a field trip? Like, it wasn't at the day field trip. It was like, come with the school to see this movie on this night.
No, I actually... I don't think I saw this movie in theaters. It wasn't until... you know, it was on TV that I saw it.
Chicken Little?
Yeah.
You actually sat and watched Chicken Little?
Well, I don't think I watched all. I watched bits and pieces of it. It was difficult to watch. I'm gonna say that.
It's not good. That year was rough for me that it came out, because the other movie that we saw there was The Incredibles. And as much as I love The Incredibles, like, 10-year-old me was not feeling it. And I can lie to myself and say that I loved it. I love it now, and I did like it back then quite a bit, but like, it was not the comedy that they made it seem like it was supposed to be, and it just kind of bummed me out. But yeah, so I, you know what, I'll agree with you. Emperor's New Groove gets a 4 out of 5, and that is our first ranking on our Letterboxd account that you can check out through the link in our bio or the link in our show description below. James, do you have anything else you'd like to add about The Emperor's New Groove?
I just think it was underrated for its time.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, like Finding Nemo did really good because it looks like the trailers all made it look like, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. Like, certain movies don't do well in theaters because the parents don't want to bring the little kids to it just because they're like, I don't want to sit through that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't do well. And I think this was one of the ones that the parents were just like, I am done watching this trailer. And, DVD came out and they're like, oh, an animated movie for kids? Okay. And, it went from there. And then suddenly kids are like, I want to watch this movie every day. And they did.
And the cult classic began.
Yeah. I will say, I'm looking through this thing. You know how they used to do the, like, coming soon to Disney DVD?
Yep.
Stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Which I do miss. Apparently this had the Monsters, Inc. trailer on it. That trailer scared the crap out of me as a kid.
It also scared the crap out of me. I did not want to see it because of Randall. I'm going to be honest right now.
There was no Randall in the trailer that I saw. You know what it was?
What?
It was like, they're like, oh, there's something living in your closet. And it's like zooming into your closet. And then the two of them both roll out.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, like, we're supposed to be scaring people. And they just, you know.
Just being zany.
It's just them. Zany yeah, characters. But like, the commercial scared the crap out of me. Like, I'm like, oh no, monsters in my closet? And, yeah. But I ended up loving the movie. I will say, I saw that commercial for the first time, I think, on the Toy Story 2 VHS that I rented. And honestly, it's all I thought about for a good, like, few days. Like, it scared the crap out of me. But unfortunately, we don't get to talk about Monsters, Inc. I'll send you that trailer after. I'll personally send you that trailer. Everybody else, if you just Google Monsters, Inc. teaser, you'll find it. But anyway, yeah, no, Emperor's New Groove, great movie. Great movie.
Go check it out.
That's our review. Great movie, great movie, great movie. Good way to kick off our 5-year venture.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if this is your first time listening, thank you for taking the time to listen. Let us know. Send us what movie you want next. I mean, I'll give you a little hint. Typically, I think what we're going to be doing in the future is we're going to have a little randomizer. We're going to enter a couple movies into the thing and let it pick. But for this month, we decided to let you guys pick. Next month, we're going to be capitalizing on, probably shouldn't phrase it like that, but we're going to be capitalizing on a newer Disney movie that will be coming to DVD around the time that the episode is coming out. I'm trying to think of a hint. Have you seen the movie yet, James?
Does it involve a lot of singing and magic?
Yes.
if it's the one I'm thinking of, I've seen bits and pieces of it because my family was if it's on Disney Plus, my family was watching it and I was getting ready for bed because I work at all hours of the morning.
So basically, if you want to know what it is, go back to last episode, last season, and you will figure out what it is because we talked about it.
And while you're at it, go check out the other episodes as well.
James really loves the other episodes. That's what I'm getting out of this. James loves seasons 1 and 2. I do too, though.
We had some good times in there. Now that like when they came out, they were kind of like the Emperor's New Groove, where we're just like, oh, I don't know how this is gonna do. But looking back, some of them were decent. They were fun.
Some of them were bangers. Some of them were not. But that's the problem when you're doing an episode every month. Or every week. There's some odd choices made in some of those episodes. You'll just have to go back. I don't want to spoil it, but to be fair, I haven't run this by James yet, but season 3 is the final season. Did you know that, James?
I did not know that.
But it's also going to be a 5-year long season.
So you're saying this is going to end in 2027?
Yes, after we finish every Disney movie. So, I mean, if we decide to, like, do weekly episodes again, the show could end in a year. But for now, 2027 is the day, it seems like. And James fully signed on for it. Do you want to hear the worst part, though? When other Disney Animated Studios movies come out, they get added to the list.
So it, like, never ends, does it?
It never ends, James. Disney College Podcast forever. Season 3 forever. Never ending season 3. All right. Well, thank you again, everybody, for listening. Brief shout out to Disney for putting out Emperor's New Groove. Brief shout out to James for putting out Toga Tips. If you haven't checked out Toga Tips, the link is no longer in our description because I accidentally deleted it one day and haven't put it back in, but it says, please check out Toga Tips. So maybe I'll do that right now. But we will see you next month.
Actually, before we end, I have a little surprise for you.
Oh, God.
I was going to send this to you before the show, but then I thought it'd be fun to do it as an on-air live reaction.
Oh, no.
So, have you seen any of the stuff for the art festival at Epcot yet?
I have not. I think I know where you're going with this, though, because I've seen one thing from it.
So you probably know what's going to come, but I'll send it to you right now. So the menus just got revealed for one of the festivals at Epcot for the Festival of the Arts. And I'm not really a fan of the food at the Festival of the Arts. Like it's colorful. It's like it encapsulates the art aspect, but it's not really like compared to some of their other festivals. But there was one thing I saw that they were selling at one of the pavilions that I just had to send to you. So sending it right now. But you probably already know what it is.
Oh, why wouldn't let me make the picture bigger? It is what I know. I need to get down to Disney and buy it. For people who don't know what it is the Figment popcorn holder. That's what I'm guessing.
Yep, that was it, the Figment popcorn bucket. The second I didn't even know that was going to be in the article, I was like, oh, I'll just check this out, see what they have. And that was at the top of the page.
If anybody has a way to get me one of these, I don't know. I was going to say I'll give you money for it, but I feel like it's going to end up costing everybody like people are going to be like, yeah, I'll give it to you for like $200. And I'm going to be like, no. You know, I don't need it that bad.
it is a very nice bucket, though.
Yeah, I want it. Like, I would book a whole trip. I would book an entire trip down to Disney just to get this thing, and I might. But I take back the, like, I would, if someone wants to sell it to me at cost, like the normal cost, then I will buy it from them. Otherwise, I will be booking a trip for Disney, and I will be going down there. I wonder if I could buy it on eBay. I wonder if it would come with
popcorn. I'm sure it'll appear on eBay. I don't think the festival itself has started yet, but when it does, I'm sure it'll end up there.
They're going for $90.
Oh, dang.
Honestly, I'd pay $90. Is that sad?
No, I mean, a lot of, like, because this is, like, that's a park exclusive, and, like, once the festival's over, they're going to rotate it out, or if they sell out. Like, there's been occasions, you know, where they sell out early and...
Oh, pre-sale. You know, like,
oh, it's a pre-sale item?
Yeah, when does it come out? Release 114, so it's not out yet. Maybe they'll put it on the website.
It'll be out next Friday.
I wonder if they'll put it on the website. Do they put popcorn buckets on the website?
I don't think they do.
Well, it looks like I'm going to Disney next Friday.
Oh, you have to tell us about that next month. Tell us about your excursion to Disney for the Figment popcorn bucket.
They do. They don't. I did notice. Did you see the two new Funkos that are coming out that are like People Mover Funkos?
I didn't, but that sounds really cool.
And then they have like an Epcot one that's like it has eyes and it's like a little person.
Oh.
Yeah. They're kind of cute. They're also kind of terrifying and something that I would see in my nightmares. Well, I can't go to Disney next weekend. One, I don't have the money at all. And two, I'm going to a wedding. Anyway, that's our episode on The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, thank you.